The talent is there, the size is there, but is the leadership there?
In the world full of podcasts, he's the undisputed heavyweight champion of hot takes, an Auburn sports homer, master of the boog, and message board legend. Get your buttons buttoned and your hats flattened, because the Top Button Podcast is about to kick off, and you don't want to miss your courtside seat. Now, here's your host, Charlie Five.
Yes, sir. We're back. It's another episode of the Top Button Podcast. I'm your host, Kyle Rush, aka Charlie Five, and we're ready to get after it another day over here at Auburn Daily on YouTube. Make sure you found us there if you want to watch us on YouTube. If you're listening on audio, you're right where you're supposed to be. Let's get into it. We're going to talk about leadership today. Golish specifically raved about Byram, but he kind of raised the point. I'm not sure that we have a Byram in every room, and that's obviously the goal. We'll talk about all the details around that. He mentioned six wide receivers, didn't mention them by name. He seemed to kind of insinuate that the six receiver rotation is set. We're going to talk about who those may be and a wild card to add to that. And are the red zone woes potentially going to be remedied this year? We'll talk about that and then what that may look like as well. Let's jump right in. There's no question, guys, that Byram Brown is the alpha leader of this team. There's no question that it's not just about talent. It's work ethic. We talked about it yesterday from the whole vacation story. And Golish makes sure to mention that and brag on that quite a bit. And I think what he's trying to do, clearly to me, is put that on display for the rest of his team to hear. He talked about the relationship they have where, you know, if Byram gets to practice and coach isn't there, or gets to the facility and coach isn't there, you know, I'm going to snap a quick picture of the parking spot. Hey, where you at, coach? You know, and then it's a lot of back and forth like that. Golish used the illustration of how when Byram walks, the other quarterbacks are falling behind him like little ducklings, I guess. And then the conversation from there is a lot about, like, do we have that in every room? And I'm not going to try to do a repeat of Locked On Auburn this morning. We talked about the different rooms that potentially could have a Byram Brown type person in it. It's not necessarily about listing out who all those are. It's the fact that Golish is signifying to me that it's not really a talent deal at this point in time. It's not really like an effort thing at this point in time. It's, do we have that guy that everybody can look to that we know is not going to be ever get distracted, is not going to ever get off course, and can sort of be that guiding light for that particular room? It's like, and we're going to talk about receivers in just a second, but they got six guys they trust, and we're going to talk about those. But after that, it's real young. The first 11, you feel like, can pretty much go out and do it against anybody. But after that, you're just mega young. Auburn has a ton of, I mean, this is a quote from Golish. Auburn has a lot of talented young players who are being asked to grow up really, really fast. It's probably an impossible goal to think that you can have a Byram Brown in every single room. So when you do have one, and I'm not just saying like Byram Brown as a individual, when you have a Byram Brown like figure, a guy that is obviously physically gifted, he's been very productive, and then he has the work ethic on top of that. You can have that outside of quarterback. I just wonder if it has the impact that it would have if it's the quarterback, because everybody wants to kind of look at the quarterback in general. But I like this because it's an impossible goal. It's an impossible goal to think that you're going to have that in every single room, but you're not acknowledging that it's impossible. It's not like, I know this is a Hail Mary thing, but like our long-term thing is like we want to try to have a Byron Brown in every room. I think that Golish, I think it's like a two-edged sword type thing. I think he knows that it's probably impossible, but that doesn't stop him from trying to find it and develop it. Because, and this is from him, he said it multiple times, because at some point, if the coach in that room is the alpha, if the coach in the room is the guy leading the ducklings, you could reach a plateau. It's when the player is the guy at the front of the room, that's when you can do special things. Auburn needs more Byron Browns. Golish wants more Byron Browns, and that's what they're going to. That seems to be like what they're going to do as they build this program. We're going to try to find and develop more Byron Browns. We got a really young team, really talented team, young difference makers, and Golish knows that. He can only take them so far. His position coaches can only take them so far. Eventually, you got to, from the inside, like you got to take it from the inside, the locker room, and make it happen. So that's really, that shows you the impact that Byron Brown has. It shows you the consistent and like incessant drive to try to attain things that are probably unattainable. To try to, you know, that the corny thing is if you shoot for the stars, you'll hit the moon. Is that what it says? If you try to set your goal beyond what's attainable, but you kind of convince yourself that we're going to try to attain it, you could probably end up in a pretty good spot. I do think Auburn has. I don't know if it's necessarily Byron Brown level, but I do think they have some rooms that have some alphas in it. You know, you'll hear it on Locked on Auburn. You listened to it probably just a little bit ago. If you watch that one at 7 o'clock and then you jump over here at 7:30, probably got some pretty good ones. We mentioned Cole Best in the offensive line room, and there's several others. If you can ever get close to a full team where every single room has a Byron Brown, man, you'd be cooking with something. The connection between those two is fantastic, and I think it's going to yield big time dividends very, very quickly. We're going to talk wide receivers. We're going to talk red zone here in just a second. But before we do that, we want to give a quick shout out to the PTAC Precision Tune Auto Care. In Opelika, still can beat the heat, take advantage of their special, which is a free AC performance evaluation, free system pressure test, free vent temperature analysis, and $50 off any AC repairs over $300. They're open at 7 a.m. Central Standard Time now. And if you drop your car off between 7 and 9, you can get a $50 oil change right there off Pepperell Parkway and Veterans Parkway, where two parkways collide. You can even try out the bidet if you want to. It's Precision Tune Auto Care. Show them some love. And then buyauburn.com. Do business with Auburn people. Bottom line, if you're an Auburn business, you can list your business for less than $1 per day. And then we're shouting it out on every single show. Hey, do business with Auburn people. And the only place you can go where you can guarantee you're going to get an Auburn person to do business with is buyauburn.com. So show some love. It's buyauburn.com. Let's jump into the wide receiver conversation. Golish mentioned that it was really not so much, it really ended up being a conversation about Sam Turner, but They were talking about wide receivers, and he says, we do have number-wise six that we feel really good about. So, who are those six? I think it's fairly easy to figure it out. I mean, obviously, at the top, you've got Chaz Nimrod and Keyshawn Singleton and Jeremiah Koger. Like, those three, easy. Easy peasy. Like, there ain't no question about those. I think at this point in time, the next three are glaringly obvious as well. You got Brian Williams Jr., you got Christian Neptune, and then you got Deshaun Spencer. Those six names have, without a doubt, been the most consistent, with Christian Neptune being one that's starting to emerge more now that he's a full go. So let's talk about those six, like, and then we're going to talk about Sam Turner. So as this camp has gone on, when you want to take a look back in the past and you want to talk about spring, I think from everything we've heard, from everything we've seen, I think that there was a pretty stiff learning curve from the speed, the physicality, everything. And there was a lot of question marks, I think, that could that room compete at this level? Then you fast forward and you go through summer workouts and you're starting to hear a lot of good things. And then fall camp rolls around. And now the guys have their feet under them a little bit. You hear Jeremiah Koger, things like he's been one of the more consistent guys all camp. You hear things like Chaz Nimrod, he's an NFL wide receiver. You hear things about Keyshawn Singleton. He's the alpha dog of the room, making plays, throwing off defenders, making contested physical catches. Physical is always the descriptor when talking about Keyshawn Singleton. It's like, okay, these guys, I think they might be figuring it out. And then you look at the guys behind them. Brian Williams Jr., who gained, 20 pounds from the time he got here until now. And now he looks like he's a true freshman. And he's still got a little bit of baby deer to him, I think. But he is looking more and more like a third-year wide receiver than a true freshman from a physicality standpoint, from a physical standpoint, to the point where if he needs to go in, not only could he be a great blocking asset on the edge, but I don't think there's going to be – I don't think it's going to be a liability if he has to go in the game. And then these two slot guys, bro, I think these guys are going to be dynamite. Christian Neptune is so quick, has such a different start and stop level, stop and start level than anybody on the team potentially. The stuff that he can do in space is going to be very, very fun to watch. And then Deshaun Spencer, and I got to hand it to him, man. There ain't been no learning curve. That dude came to play. That dude came in here and said, I am ready to play. Get me the ball. When you have a true freshman like that, where it's the game plan is like just get the ball in that guy's hands and let him go do something, man. He did it in high school. He did it in spring. He did it in the A-Day game. And now he's worked his way into this top six rotation. I like him. I like this six. I like this rotation. There's a lot of different looks you can give. There's a lot of different size guys and different mismatches that you could probably create with them. Brian Williams and Deshaun Spencer have never played a snap. And now they're learning how to play, be college players, and they're figuring it out. He quickly went to the wild card, though, and that's Sam Turner. And he used Sam Turner in the phrase of, hey, we got six, it could be seven. Sam Turner's the wild card. He missed all spring. He missed a large chunk of the summer. Essentially, he missed a whole year. I mean, imagine, like, I just missed a whole 365 days of football. And I've got to get myself back in shape and be able to go compete in the SEC. Golish said he was smart, obviously mature, which that is a big thing for Golish. Really good hands. It's not really about ability. It's just how quickly he can get comfortable playing snap to snap again. Because remember, we go fast. It's the scrimmage, this last scrimmage they talked about last week, 8-9 play drives, and it's like boom, 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 boom. You got to be able to handle it. But another big physical SEC bodied wide receiver, if you got it to where you're seven deep, man, you can do some fun things. The biggest things I want to see, I'm anxious to see, is where all they put Chaz Nimrod, like how they utilize him, getting him the ball, how many, how does the smaller slot guys, like how do they fit into this offense? I know they fit in, that may have been the wrong word, but what does their role look like? How do we get them the ball? Is it a lot of screens? Is it a lot of just, you know, sitting down 3-4 yards up the field and turning around and getting it to them in space and letting them make something happen? Are you going to try to isolate them on guys and get mismatches? Like, I can't wait to see how they utilize those smaller, quicker guys. It could be a really fun room. Maybe not as talented as last year, but maybe vastly more productive. So that'll be fun to watch. And the last thing to me, the red zone conversation is fun. If you're an Auburn fan, the red zone is the dead zone. There has been the dead zone. How many highlights? So funny. And I'm not trying to knock anybody, okay? Knock any coaches, knock any anything. But it's so funny. All these, like, old highlights are popping up. Like, this game and this game. On this day, this game happened. And when it's like a big game in the past, I don't know, just say 10-plus years, it's like big, big play, field goal. Big, big play, field goal. I remember watching that dang 2014 Iron Bowl replay where we threw for a billion yards. Nick Marshall threw for a billion yards, could not score a touchdown. Could not score touchdowns in the red zone. Could score from 100 yards out. Couldn't punch it in. Golish talked about red zone, and he's like, look, tempo is awesome. Like, we can go fast in between the 20s. He goes, but look, tempo helps you zero once you get into the red zone. The field gets condensed, and it ain't about going fast and getting people tired, because everybody's tired at this point in time. This is when the size shows up. That was his exact words. Especially in this league, size shows up, or lack of size shows up. Once you get inside the 20, you got to physically be able to win. And that's what's been the frustrating thing for Auburn fans, because Auburn has not been able to very often punch people in the mouth and get the ball into the red zone. Golish said they've hammered home being able to run the football. And because of Auburn's tempo, he describes red zone football as essentially two exhausted groups at the line of scrimmage in a battle of wills. That was his quote. He specifically points towards, like, us having bigger personnel, bigger backs, bigger tight ends. And as the year goes on, this is his quote, it'll show up more and more. So the question is, I know y'all know how what I like in the red zone. I want the ball in the air, and I know that makes people so mad. I just love having mismatches and exploiting it through the air. But that's not what it sounds like they're getting ready to be prepared to do. He's basically saying we're big at wide receiver. We're big at tight end. We're big at running back. We got a big quarterback. We're going to run the ball. We're going to punch it in. So that will be fun to watch. And you got the personnel to do it. I think you got some pretty big guys. I mean, not you. I think you got some pretty big guys on the offensive line. You feel really good about your tight end room, very physical, big tight end room that could also, you know, be receiving threats. And then you got some big wide receivers. I mean, put Keyshawn Singleton out there blocking, you know, in the red zone. And, I mean, that dude's 6'3", 220. You put Jeremiah Koger on the other side, that guy's like 6'3", or 6'4", close to 220. You got some size to push some people around, and then you got the X factor back there. You got 6'4", 235 at quarterback that is licking his chops to go put a face mask through a face mask. That would be a fun identity to have in the red zone. Let's just run people. Let's just run over people. I'd be down for that. Raise your hand if you'd be down for that. We got practice today. We'll have a live recap this afternoon, so make sure you're there for that right here at Auburn Daily. We could do some Q&As. I don't expect it to be a very long window, but we'll do our best to get everything. We'll be watching for injuries, watching for any potential. I doubt there'll be many position swaps, but anything going on as we enter this mock week one. Mock week, I mean, let's just call it week zero. It's week zero. We're going to pretend like we got a week one, but it's week zero because next week is on, baby. We got football. Guys, y'all have a great day. Thank y'all for jumping over. I've had almost 1,000 folks join the new YouTube channel in just 24 hours. This thing's going to be a rocket ship. We are 100% Auburn owned. Let's go. Stay buttoned.
Thanks for listening, and drive home safely.